This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director, going to be talking about the new South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame, where Terry Nielsen, President of South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame, and Scott Fiedler, past President of the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame and Chair now of the Committee for the new home of the Hall of Fame at the new Denny Sanford Premier Event Center.
And this has been a dream of ours as President of the South Dakota Sports or South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame. I succeeded Scott Fiedler, who to my right here is he said, Terry, if you'll be the president, I'll continue on the legacy and chair the committee to make this happen. And we're very excited. Scott, maybe you can tell the listeners what we've got in store for them coming up this fall.
Well, we are excited because the city and the state in general is excited about the building, but we're excited about one small part of it. But it's a big part for us because the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame, it says exactly what it is. It's not just, you know, one sport. It takes in all the folks. And for years, we've just had a granite plaque in the old arena, and it served us well until the reconfiguration of the arena. And of course, now the vendors kind of cover it up when you come into main arena door. When we found out we were going to get a new arena here in town, the Sanford Center, we thought, wow, what a great opportunity. And through the cooperation of a whole bunch of people we'll talk about later, it is a reality and they're working on it now. And like everything else, we're in the home stretch in that building. And so we're just excited as heck.
We've come a long ways from the old Howard Wood Field. It used to be over right by where the Social Services is now, the old Sears building. A lot of people don't realize the football stadium was made out of granite.
Yep.
Back at that time, over by the viaduct. Jim Burt was chairman of the committee for the grand opening of the new Howard Wood Stadium that we see now.
Yeah, the late 50s.
Yes, and that was a big deal.
It was a huge deal, absolutely.
And he told Dave Dedrick, who was our weatherman at Kello TV, he said, you better not forecast any rain during our grand opening ceremonies. And of course, it was scheduled to rain, and Dave Dedrick had to say that it's going to rain at the time of the opening ceremonies, and Jim Burt took a bucket of water and threw it right on him. This was live. this was live on TV back then. And Jim Burt, when he gave the sportscast at night, he was only supposed to run about 5 minutes, and then they would go into the next program. But he'd always keep talking and keep talking, sometimes 10 minutes, 11, 12, 13 minutes. So Dave Dedrick came up with a great big pair of scissors and cut his mic cord off right on TV. And, of course, Jim kept on talking. So, like I say, we have a heritage of sports going way back. I guess, you know, we can say that baseball is something that, you know, we've got excellent fields in Sioux Falls for baseball, softball. I live over by Frank Olson Park where all of the women's tournaments are. Mm-hmm. You can never have enough ballparks, can you?
Seems like you can't have enough. But, you know, John, you mentioned some names that a lot of the listeners recognize, like Jim Burt and Dave Dedrick, but Scott and I also happen to be on the Howard Wood Dakota Relays mm-hmm. board of directors. And Jim Burt, for years, he was a past president and was an active member until his death. But in the later years, I've been involved in that for about 40 years. But we jokingly would always put Jim in charge of the weather. And about, the funny thing is the weather traditionally is horrible the first weekend in May, but we would start asking Jim at our February meetings, you know, what's it looking like in the first of May? And of course he'd always give a report, and he took a lot of kidding about the weather. We always held Kello and Jim Burt pretty responsible when the weather was miserable.
Well, the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame, I haven't been there. A lot of people haven't. It was in a tell us where it's been located. Because it's a little bit off the beaten path that it has been.
Well, it's been in our hearts, because we do not have a physical home. We have a website, mm-hmm. which is really kind of the way to go as you look to the future, because people can go to sdshof.com and they'll see all the history of the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame. With our last class, John, we now have 245 inductees. And at that website, which is our home, they'll see photos, bios on all of our honorees. And really, through Scott's work and the new home and display area at the event center, we're going to bring that website to the masses, because a lot of times people don't sit at home and go online, but we're going to, with our display out there, we're going to bring this website into the hallways.
How far back does the Hall of Fame record? I mean, we've got sports in here for a long time, but, you know, 100 years ago, we didn't have that much population.
Well, I'll touch on the history, because I started as a part-timer with the Argus Leader in 1968, and it was at about that time I was on the very fringes, but my good friend John Egan banded together with the other main sports writers in South Dakota, and they formed the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame in 1968, and they carried the legacy on probably until most of them retired. And then at that point, it was passed on to other media and other sports enthusiasts like Scott and myself. Right now, we have a committee of about 30 people representing all of South Dakota. And then we also have people that represent different sports. So I think by the time we have a subcommittee that does their selection committee in the meeting in the fall of each year, we feel pretty good about the representation that we have.
When they come in and see it, when you get it finished, what do they, you come in the door, you say, I want to see the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame, what are they going to see?
Well, they're going to see a terrific display. It's basically a wall. It's 35 feet wide. It's 13 feet high. It's been designed by professionals. The people at Coke Hazard, in conjunction with other folks, have done a mural of our most famous people. Then you're going to see two large screens, 60-inch screens. They're touch screens. They're interactive. And you'll be able to bring up your favorite athlete, your favorite contributor, your favorite coach, and you'll see pictures. In some cases, you'll see videos. We hope to enhance that as years go by down the road, but I think they'll be impressed. You're also going to see the current class on display with their own individual biography and pictures. And it's almost like a larger-than-life display. We're just excited to be able to do that, you know, in the past. And I want to back up just for a second, because you brought up a good thing, John, about the Hall of Fame. Where's it been? Shortly before I came over here today, I told a friend what I was doing. He goes, was that one out in Chamberlain? And I said, no, that one in Chamberlain is all about all walks of life where people have done things. Well, he says, is that the one in Lake Norton? I said, no, that's the baseball one.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Right. And yeah. I've been involved in that one in years gone by. And then he said, well, is it the one down in the Dome in Vermilion? I said, no, that's the South Dakota Coaches Association Hall of Fame. And then I explained to him it was just a granite wall, you know. And he says, oh, that one. And I said, it's all the great athletes from all the way from Casey Tibbs to Billy Mills to Sparky Anderson and so on.
Give us an idea of the, you know, this is statewide. I mean, we're not just talking about Sioux Falls or Brookings or Vermilion. You're talking about Rapid City and Sisseton and all the state as a whole, which is really well represented on a broad spectrum, the whole state.
Yeah, because it was started, John, by the Sports Writers Association. They had the sports editors from Watertown, Aberdeen, Yankton, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls Argus Leader. Those sports editors, that was their job to know sports. So when they got together and said, we need to be like the other states and have our own Sports Hall of Fame, they kicked it off in 1968, and I just had done some checking before I came down here. So your listeners would remember some of the original six. One was Rube Hoy, the noted longtime USD coach. Ed Livingston, longtime golf professional and longtime referee. Jack Manders, a great athlete in South Dakota. R.E. Rawlings was a longtime coach. Most people recognize the name Howard Wood, who coached everything at Washington High School. And then Joe Mendel, the fastest guy in the state, probably still to this day. Yeah. They call him Smokey Joe Mendel. I forget, Scott, what was the little town that he was from? Oneida, I'm thinking it was Oneida. He went on to run at Yankton College. But to kick it off, those were the six that they did. And then I can remember working with Egan and getting to go to the selection committee meeting in 1969 when they chose Bill Carberry, Denny Cosgrove, and Billy Mills. And, of course, from then, they had decided to recognize not just athletes, but coaches and then contributors, people that were on the edge and had contributed in some way, whether it was media or athletic supporters, supporting towns or whatever. So those are the three categories that we try to fill each year, coaches, athletes, and contributors.
Back in 68, when you were working at the Argus, I was working here at Kello. We didn't, you know, ever think that we'd be living in a city of almost 200,000. I think back then it was probably
65,000.
65,000. Yeah. But now we support the Sky Force, the Canaries, the Storm Arena Football. We have so much great Legion and VFW baseball. We have soccer. You know, soccer is going to probably have a professional league coming up here shortly. We support a lot of sports here in this part of the country.
Well, I can tell you that when the sports writers stuck to the tradition of inducting three a year, one in each category, that only lasted till probably the late 80s. And by then, guess what? Women's sports was raging in South Dakota. More sports, like you just mentioned, were raging. So all of a sudden you had, away from the traditional sports that we think of, like football and basketball and baseball, all of a sudden other sports came about and needed recognition. And the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame, we're constantly striving to do that. We even have the greatest horseshoe pitcher in the history of South Dakota.
Just thinking about
Lee
that.
Dunker, yes. Of Warner. We have one or two of the greatest bowlers in the history of South Dakota. These are sports that people traditionally don't think of. But we've recognized them along with, of course, cowboys, rodeos, stock car racers. I don't think we've missed a sport yet. And if we have, Scott, hopefully we'll pick them up in the future.
Well, you know, I'm sure dodgeball will be right around the corner.
There you go. Yep. Now that Kello and the Argus, we have to find out who the MVP was in that last night, Scott.
You know, I just want to jump in. You mentioned the women's thing. And if you think about it, the women's thing is not very old. And yet some of our most famous inductees are successful. Our college women basketball players are phenomenal. And then you throw in the fact Chris Cheddar, and now with Becky Hammond, with her magnitude, the thing that she just accomplished, South Dakota really has a lot to be proud of, especially on the women's scene. It really is.
It was funny when the announcement came out last week. We have a list of bios and candidates for future consideration, probably maybe 100, 200 of them. Many of them are quite young that we're going to obviously honor someday. Becky Hammond from Rapid City Stevens is an obvious one. But, of course, when they're involved in their careers, you kind of want to wait until they wind down. So a week ago when I saw that Becky was retiring, I shot an email right away to our selection people and say, it'll be awesome. We get Becky here next April and induct her in the Hall of Fame. The next day she gets hired by the San Antonio Spurs.
So we're not going to get her here.
We're not going to get
there.
They're going to be in the playoffs. So she'll get her due. But what a neat thing to someday be able to bring her to Sioux Falls and honor her in this way.
She's still making history.
Making history.
And if somebody's got a Mike Miller jersey out there, they may want to donate that, I suppose.
It'll be fun to bring Mike back someday, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, if people do have some things that, you know, we're getting to the age where a lot of that slipping through our fingers, it gets boxed up and sent out to Goodwill. If they have something that they think the Sports Hall of Fame would use, how do they talk to you
about
it?
Well, we're very fortunate. We, you know, Any volunteer committee like we are, and many of our listeners are involved in these, you always have a band of warriors, but you usually have a core group of people that lead the way. And kind of our historian is Ronnie Hoffman at the Argus Leader, and he has just done a yeoman's job. They can go to the website, and you can actually nominate someone for consideration. You can print out a form on the website. There's our email on that website. Any old pictures, In fact, in the last year, we've been seizing on the opportunity to get old historic pictures because it's endless that we can put on our website. And one of the fun things that that we're going to do, I think people are really going to be excited when they first tap the touch screen of our display at the new event center. Oh, maybe we won't say what they're gonna see when they touch it. But let's put it this way: for people that before television or in the early years of television, remember laying in their bed at night, listening to sports on the radio or hearing the TV from the other room, are going to enjoy the voices of South Dakota sports, hearing them right before their ears, right there at our display.
I'm sure you're going to be on every schedule of every class reunion from now on.
It could be.
Have you got plans for expansion in the future? You say it's 35-foot wall right now, but...
I think in this day and age, you know, I think, John, back to your question earlier about actual memorabilia, jerseys, mm-hmm. and things like that, we feel because we're not a full-time Hall of Fame with curators, as if that would be the proper word. Now, I'm a USD guy, and we didn't, you know. But my point is, we just felt that those days are where you can actually do the jersey, and those kind of things are invaluable. They're very cool. It's not part of this building out here, and I'm not knocking a building. It's not part of the way we're going to do business, because we can't. We don't have, right now, what we can do, we're low maintenance. We can update. At the same time, we can take pictures of those things and preserve them that way. But, you know, maybe they stay in the family. Maybe there's another home. Maybe if it's a basketball jersey, maybe it goes to the Pentagon, because the Pentagon does have some great displays out there, and the Baseball Hall of Fame and Lake Norton does, and maybe even some of the more famous ones would end up. I think Billy Mills is actually in Chamberlain, I believe, mm-hmm. at the South Dakota Hall of Fame. So great question, though, about those things. But as far as us getting bigger, I think we've reached our max as far as the size of our display.
That's why we like the website idea, mm-hmm. yeah. where there's no limit to the cloud up there for yep. photos and memorabilia on the site. And also, John, for volunteers, it's a little easier to maintain as we move forward.
Have you got plans maybe for Twitter and Facebook with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that leaves us out. We're too old. But we have mm-hmm. Mike Hendrickson, yep. who's been
absolutely
super. And we already mentioned Ron Hoffman. Those guys have been fabulous yep. as far as...
Because everybody can post their story to that.
That's yep. right.
That'd be perfect.
And, it is.
Absolutely.
Really yeah, is. if you need anything for the internet, just ask any 8-year-old.
There you go.
Thank you.
They're born with it. Talking with Terry Nielsen, Scott Fielder of the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame. And I guess, who's going to be inducted when you open this up?
Well, we're going to do our ribbon cutting for our area late September, early October. And so we're midterm of our year. We did our... induction. We do our induction in April of every year. So at that time, we'll still be recognizing the 2014 class. And we actually have a selection committee that does its work and makes its choices later in the fall. And we'll be announcing the 2015 class probably around Thanksgiving time. So for the display that is opening, the showcase that people are going to see in October, it'll be focused on the 2014 class, plus the website and all the information on all the remaining 245 people.
When you walk in, what do you think is the most important thing that you're glad to see in the Sports Hall of Fame when you go there?
Well, for me, it's just going to be, let me give you a little history. When the sports writer started this, they had a group with high on enthusiasm and no money, their group. So they chose the best way to recognize their people was at halftime during the state tournaments. And they would give them a piece of paper that would say, you're a member of the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame. Now, we upgraded that about maybe 20-some years ago by giving them plaques. But to me, the exciting thing is we've had people that have now started to feel that they're in the Sports Hall of Fame more, because we've done an annual banquet with 300 people or so. We're using video technology to bring their stories to life. They're getting excited again about their personal history. And we just feel that when the current members, the 245 people of those still living and their families, to come to the event center, touch the screen and see the story of their family, their father, their mother, their grandfather brought to life in the lobby of that, that our Sports Hall of Fame is going to have an entire new meaning to it. And this, you can imagine, this display has cost a fair amount of money. And fortunately, Scott says he raised his hand and he said, I'll take that on. He's a coyote with good blood and raising money. And I would say we've had pretty good success because we've met our goal, haven't we, Scott?
We have. And you know, we're very grateful. First National Bank really stepped up and made a huge donation to get it to where we're at. And in the process, several of the members have come forward to help us get to the finish line, like I like to call it. And the money's still coming in, and which is huge. And again, if people out there want to donate, we have a South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame P.O. box, and it is 2077. It's here in Sioux Falls, and it's 57101. And otherwise, you can find it at our website. But again, P.O. Box 2077, and it's 57101, South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame. But, you know, it's very gratifying that people step forward. And as Terry said, now that we actually have one, I think the excitement will just, and it's so visible in a new event center that I think it'll be a destination. It doesn't cost anything to see it. So there'll be Sunday afternoons, if those doors are open in the event center, which I think they will be quite often, you can walk in and let's go look at the Sports Hall of Fame today. You know, Uncle Joe, we're passing through town. It wasn't Uncle Joe in the hall. Yeah, let's go check it out. So
it could actually be a destination, a reason for people to pull off the interstate and take pictures of their grandkids in front of their memorial, I guess, or whichever.
John, that's a good idea. I never thought of that. But the interesting thing, the way they have the event center and the hallway, you can actually enter the new event center from the Howard Woodside, walk all the way around and head north through the lobby, go past our display area, go all the way by the convention center into the old arena, all the way past there into the Sheridan if you want. So we think that there will be, even when the event center doesn't have an event going on, we think during the day convention goers may wander about and walk on down, and during their breaks take a few minutes. So whether they want to spend 90 seconds or stand there for 10 minutes, the time is there and it's free.
How far back is your earliest entry, I guess?
1968.
And I'm sure you got a lot of history there. It's gathered about, you know, before that. I mean, we're standing on the shoulders of a lot of giants back then.
Yeah, actually, we have gone back to people that made their mark in South Dakota sports, either here or nationally, back to the early 1900s. And, you know, in the early years, because we recognized only three people that probably deserved to get in early, maybe got bypassed. I wish Ronnie Hoffman were here. He could quickly list off about 8 or 10 people, old-timers that we call them, been deceased maybe for 100 years, a world-class boxer, people that have made a guy by the name of Batlin Nelson. And I think what we're going to do, John, we hope to maybe in one swoop take a look at some of those old-timers and give them their due, bring them in. They don't have family here to speak for them, anything, but our records show that they're historic and deserve that recognition. So I think you're going to see the Sports Hall of Fame, in addition to recognizing their 10-member class each year, either next year or the year after, in addition, bringing in some of those old-timers so people will get to learn about some of those historic people.
Well, you're talking about a lot of work. I mean, research, writing, all of the production. Terry Nielsen, Scott Feeler, we're talking with the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame. Are you looking for any volunteers?
Well,
That's a great question. We've talked about, right now, Ronnie Hoffman has really carried the ball for us for a long time in all this data collection and as far as the banquet and things like that. And we've had some new people come on, but you know what? We're always looking for fresh blood. We may not need them now today, but we may need them next year or the year after, because some of the guys are getting a little long in the tooth, and we have to replace people as we go along.
How do you become a member of the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame, and when is your banquet, by the way?
Okay, when you say a member of the Hall of Fame, do you mean
as a,
to be inducted or a committee member?
Committee member.
Well, the committee members, we're always looking for people that are interested and can come to meetings. We meet generally quarterly, and then we have subcommittee members that get together. That we have a fall meeting, then we have a selection committee in the fall. The committee hears the selection report, and then behind the scenes, we're notifying people of their induction so they can mark their calendars for April. And then we have about 20 people that work to put the banquet together, and that involves quite a bit of work. So, again, we'd have nobody who's paid on the committee. We basically have kind of just found people that have shown interest. And if any listener out there, whether they're in Sioux Falls or not, because we have people that drive in from Yankton and Brookings and Mitchell and Watertown to be on the actual Hall of Fame committee. If there are any of the listeners out there that have an intense interest in sports, promoting and preserving sports history in South Dakota through our venue, they can go to our website and email Ronnie Hoffman or any of the members, and we will get to them, and we will strongly consider. I mean, it's open. We would strongly consider them as being a member. If they're willing to work, John, if they raise their hand, they got a good shot at it.
South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame, you know, you think naturally we're talking about the history, but really each year you'll document that year each year now from this year on.
Yeah, and the where the history comes from is from each particular person. Scott, who is the coach that did the six-man football? And what was it? Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh up at Claremont.
Yeah, from Claremont. So in telling the story of Bill Walsh, some people would say, what do you mean six-man football? Well, at one time in South Dakota, that was a big deal. Now, this mm-hmm. was before there was really organized South Dakota playoffs, when you had mythical state champions.
You had a lot of small schools.
Right. Yeah. And they played six-man football. But my point is, when you tell the story of Bill Walsh, you tell that important part of South Dakota sports history. So as we're talking about these coaches and athletes, all the other history of their town teams, which is really the lifeblood of South Dakota sports. I mean, the history of town baseball and small school basketball and everything. Who doesn't like to meet over coffee and relive those memories?
We're talking about the history of South Dakota. Yeah, you know, the small town communities on up. I'm afraid our time is up.
I think we'll be coordinating our ribbon cutting for our little area, probably, right, Scott? Close to when they do
close
the ribbon
to,
cutting for the
whole thing. We're not going to steal the big thunder, but we've been talking to the people involved and said we'd like to have our own.
So when is the ribbon cutting for it?
Well, we don't have a date yet because the city has got their mm-hmm. for the grand opening of the building. So we're kind of going back and forth to find the right date. I do know that there's going to be some general public tours around that time as well. And I'm guessing it's about third week of September, somewhere in that neighborhood. That's been what we've been hearing. Mm-hmm. Now, don't take that to the bank, because I don't want to get in trouble throwing a date out there. That's why I didn't pick one. But anyway.
That's why we just have a feeling that it's going to be the first week in October that
our deal will come later. Yeah. That's all right.
And we'll have publicity in the media.
When they go to see Jason Aldean, they'll be able to
get a glimpse of it.
All right. Parade of time is up. Terry Nielsen, president of the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame, and Scott Fielder, past president and chair of the committee for the new home of the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame. I want to thank you for being with us on Forum.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thanks, John.